For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming live to the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we didn't really talk about it too much last hour when Jerry played the Sauce Gardner clip. Jerry was presenting it in a way where it was two parts. One in the beginning, he's like, okay, he's a good quarterback, and I almost picked him off, and he made a better decision, so I didn't pick him off. And then he was being distracted by somebody and then couldn't come up with anything else to say about Daniel Jones, and it looks and sounds bad. Now, you could say that maybe a teammate of his was in the corner distracting him about something else, or that teammate in the corner was laughing at Sauce Gardner having to answer the question, what do you think about Daniel Jones? And that teammate probably knows what Sauce thinks about Daniel Jones and how he was going to answer that question. That could have been it as well. But this is just another example of how there are very few people in all of football that believe in Daniel Jones and his ability to have a good season. And I do think that Brian Daboll believes he can get the best out of him if he stays healthy. I think adding Malik Nabers, we know, is a big thing, and the offensive line looked good. There's a lot of things that could help him this year if he stays healthy. But going into this season, Daniel Jones, to most people, and tell me if I'm wrong, looks like a dead man walking. Like, this is it for him. This is his last year. They had no other better options, and we're going to see the last of him. That's what it feels like.
That is not incorrect.
Okay.
That is not incorrect. Unfortunately for him, with the injury bugs and with, you know, some of the plays that, you know, he made against the Texans, you know, there's a lot of things that are out there that he has to correct and he has to make happen in order to stay here and to see the fulfillment of his contract. And there's a lot of pressure on him. Like, we were talking about Juan Soto earlier, and we were talking about Judge earlier about coming under, you know, extreme pressure because of contracts and expectations. And those guys have exceeded everything that I think anybody could have expected when their numbers speak to that. For Daniel, he's in a really, like, in a, this is his career moment, if you want to put it in that kind of subject matter. He's got to have a year where, you know, he's got 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Maybe he runs for 500 yards and he throws for, you know, maybe 4,000. And he becomes the guy that he was under Brian Daboll in Brian Daboll's first year. And he takes the next step. And I think it's set up for him to get off to a good start. I hope that Brian stays aggressive with the play calling. The big question for me is, you know, offensive scheme, reading defenses, processing things, accuracy, and not making stupid decisions where you're going to give the ball to the other team.
Yeah, to me, and I don't know if you felt this way when you were playing, and I can only apply it to really the business that we're in now, but the worst criticism and the ones that would make that would hit the hardest would be the ones from peers.
Yes.
So
if it's fans or people that are upset or whatever, that's one thing. If it's someone in management who's yelling at you and wants you to be better and you got to listen to them because you're your boss, that's another thing. But when someone you respect who's your peer doesn't think you're worth anything.
And plus, this guy is thought to be one of the best defensive backs in football.
That's the one that would sting the most.
Yeah, because, you know, and I don't know, I can't speak for Sauce, but obviously we can all take from what we hear and what we saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that, you know, Sauce gets put into that position even being asked that question.
Yeah.
And number two, he has the trouble answering it the way that, you know, I would have liked him to answer it, but, you know, he's trying to be honest and trying to be genuine. And for Daniel, it's just another layer of crap that you got to deal with.
Yep.
And by the way, you know, we saw this the day before from Tua Tagovailoa towards Brian Flores.
Yeah, and you, I mean,
you could see how much or how bothered Brian Flores was about that comment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and he probably was thinking, you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, not that I'm a terrible person, but some truth about his coaching philosophy with Tua didn't work, and he needs to be better at that. And he probably hates the fact that Tua did that so publicly because that's not going to help him get another job. That's now going to be like the first or second question that anybody who interviews Brian Flores to be the head coach that it's going to be asked. It's like, all right, Tua Tagovailoa thinks you're a terrible person.
And of all the people to say something negative about somebody else, Tua doesn't come off as a person that would have ever done that. That's what gives that whole thing even more gusto and intensity.
Yeah.
It's because it's Tua. I'm trying to think if there's a quarterback out there that I can actually think of that is playing now that would say that about any coach that they've had.
I mean, the only time I ever...
Could it be Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett would be the only other one that I could think of right now? If Russell decided to go that way.
But he would never say that.
And that's the point I'm saying. Like, he would, like, that would be shocking.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that didn't work out in certain places that I'm sure have strong feelings toward those coaches, but you never hear it. I mean, even when RG3 and Jay Gruden were going after one another, that was ancient history at this point. Like, it was news because it just doesn't happen.
I would think maybe, like, you know, big time headliners, maybe Marino, Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah.
But I don't really remember it.
Oh, it never got public, really.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really get public. I know there was intensity there because Jimmy was brought in and to do, you know, with the Dolphins that what he did with the Cowboys. And he started with a new quarterback, Troy Aikman, and he probably wanted to, I'm assuming, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I'm assuming that's what he wanted to do and what was being told to do down in Miami. But that's just, again, it's a perception that we all have about that.
Do you, when you watch Daniel Jones and you saw him in this preseason game, you've seen him throughout his career, do you think he's a happy feet guy?
Do I think he's a happy feet guy? I think he's a little nervous when he's playing. Because I'm not saying like everybody has a little bit of edge to them. You have to have the edge to them. I wouldn't say a happy feet guy. I mean, like, because when he steps into the ball and throws it, lets it rip. He's got a really strong arm.
Because I have a friend who's a Giants fan who insists on this. And, like, this is his I'm going to die on the hill take on Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Is that because of his injuries, he has happy feet. And he can't think of a player in NFL history at that position that once they started playing like that, that they got back to being confident.
I would say in the beginning of the game this week against Houston, maybe a little happy feet because you got to get your feet underneath you, especially coming off an ACL.
Yeah. Right.
And again, remember, he's ahead of schedule by a good 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you know, and that's a credit to him.
Sure.
That means something to him, that he knows he's getting paid a lot of money, and he knows that there are expectations from the fans. And I think he said that to us.
Mm-hmm.
So he recognizes everything. And believe you, you know, and he even admitted to us that, yeah, he hears things because of his family and his friends who are closest to him and are his allies and biggest supporters. You know, obviously listen to the station, listen, and they all are on social media, so they all hear it. And that's the hardest thing for his family members. Because, you know, they want him to do well. They believe it's not about him. It's about what has gone on with this team. And I think John Mara led us all to believe that he felt that way, you know, a couple years ago when he was talking about, you know, we probably screwed his kids up more ways than, you know, seven ways to Sunday because of all the different decisions we've made around here about the people who are coaching this team.
Yeah. Joe Judge, Pat Shurmur.
No. I mean, the most important thing for every franchise, and I always say this, is stability, 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 especially if you believe in your coaching staff. Now, I do give credit to Woody Johnson. He could have fired Rob Saleh, you know, after his second year, but he didn't. He could have fired him after his third year, but he didn't. So he's trying to create a stability, a stable franchise, and trying to give Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh a chance to actually have a real quarterback and see if they can actually win with the roster that Joe Douglas has built for Rob Saleh.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the attempt at stability there.
I was just thinking about all these guys when I said Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge. Just quickly. Just say 2018, because that's when we started together. Since 2018, who was the worst hire here in New York? Immediately Adam Gase comes to mind for me.
The worst hire, Adam Gase. Where was Fizdale and all that?
Fizdale was in there. You could name him. You want.
I have to name him.
All right, David Fizdale, you think was the worst hire? Judge and Shurmur were bad. McAdoo?
McAdoo's actually is a good coach. It just, you know, again, he got caught up in the vortex.
Mm.
Like, that's what happens to these coaches. They get in here for a couple years. Things go a little bit south on them. The owner feels like he's lost his confidence in the way things are being done and the way the locker room is being run, the way the players are reacting to the coach that's supposedly leading them, and then they have to run him out of here.
Where would you put Tricky Dicky Mickey on that list?
Well, that could be the worst. I mean, his opening press conference was cringeworthy, much like Adam Gase's was.
There have been some doozies coming through here, huh? Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gase. I'm going to go with Gase. How about
Alan Nasruddin?
The Devil's coach?
The Elaine Nasruddin.
Elaine Nasruddin?
Yeah, remember that guy. I mean, I remember everybody on this list. The CBS Sports Network puts it up on the TV. I know everybody except for Elaine Nasruddin. I don't remember him.
Were you a patient of Dr. Elaine Nasruddin? Yeah, some bad ones.
Ooh.
Some really bad ones. Steve Nash?
I mean, a Hall of Fame player. At least
that doesn't mean anything.
I know, but I mean, look at it.
It's so bad. CBS Sports ever put up all of them here. I mean, it's so bad.
It's kind of interesting, though. Both the Jets and Giants hired coordinators.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they do. That's what they do, hire those coordinators. Yeah. What about Gerard?
I mean, look at the Yankees. I mean, like, the Yankees are stable. They're a stable franchise. 10 years with Joe Girardi, 10 years with Joe Torre, and, you know, what are we in, like, year eight with Aaron Boone or something? Are we close to that now?
I don't know about year eight.
What year is it for Aaron Boone? Do you guys know?
Maybe it is year eight. I don't know.
I feel like he's been here for at least eight
years. They fired Joe Girardi in, so 18. It might be. I think Aaron Boone took over in 2018. Is that correct?
Girardi was out after 17.
Yeah, sorry.
So 18, 19, 20. 7 years.
All right. Wow. What a quick 7 years with Aaron Boone, huh?
What a quick 7 years with Greg Giannotti.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
Let's go to Jeff in Long Branch, wants to talk some baseball with us. What's going on, Jeff?
What's up, Gio? Hey, don't forget about Mickey Callaway. He's going to love his players more than anyone's ever loved his players.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned him, Tricky Dicky Mickey. What a time in our lives.
Okay, so listen, I've been a diehard Mets fan since basically the day they traded for Mike Piazza. I was 9 years old. I'm 35 now. I'm only a millennial. But watching these guys play, watching the way they celebrate these walk-off home runs is turning me into an old man. I cannot stand it. Jesse Winker stops running halfway to first base to slam his helmet down and to yell. It's ridiculous. I mean, I saw Kirk Gibson hit a home run in the World Series off a future Hall of Famer, and he didn't look that ridiculous. It's just Bush League. It's classless. It's Gen Z nonsense. I'm tired of it.
Wow, from a 35-year-old. That's shocking. Yeah, I will agree that for...
But like, Wicker's got a thing with the fans here.
No, I know.
Had one before he got here.
That was a celebration that felt like they walked off and won the division. That's what it felt like.
Didn't
yesterday.
They practice that like 2 years ago
they
in,
did.
In training camp?
Spring training down in Port St. Lucie. They practiced what it would be like to win a World Series, which was... I think that was under Luis Rojas, if I'm not mistaken. So it was a little much, but I can't sit here and tell you how boring baseball is and how there needs to be more personality and then complain about these things. So I'm not. I tend to like it more than dislike it, but this felt to me like they just won the division or the NLCS or the, you know, like that's what it felt like.
Well, I will say reality is going to smack them right back in the face tonight as they now are going out to San Diego. And this is it. This is the moment. They took two out of the three series at home. Took two for they should have taken three from the Marlins. That was a brutal loss. But I they won two back to back series, and now come the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and then you got the White Sox, and you got the Red Sox, and the Reds.
Who do you like better, Huey Lewis in the news or Hall and Oates?
You know, I like Daryl's house.
So Hall & Oates is your answer?
But I like I think I like the band Huey Lewis and the News better or more than I did Hall & Oates, but I loved the show Daryl's House.
See, I like them both a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very, very difficult choice for me.
And why are you asking me this?
Because you said, this is it.
Oh.
And then in my head, I just going, this is it? With Huey Lewis in the News, and then I started thinking about other bands that I liked at that time as you were going through the Mets schedule, and that's what I came up with. That's where my brain went. Eddie, okay. Huey Lewis in the News or Hall & Oates? Huey Lewis in the News.
I go Hall & Oates.
Al?
Huey Lewis, by far.
By far?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're not a Hall & Oates guy at all, huh?
Like Hall & Oates, but he is not Huey Lewis.
That's how I feel. And I love the show Daryl's House. So, I mean, you could love that show and that and their music, but you could like the other band and you'd rather go see that Correct. Other band in person.
Yeah, Daryl Hall and Daryl's House is a show.
Yes.
Not the band I'm comparing to.
So. I know, but I like Daryl Hall.
I like him as well.
Personality's great.
Yeah. You know, I think out of all those songs, I think Rich Girl... Out of both of those bands, that song might be my favorite out of all of them. But I can't go for that.
I gotta ship those out to a Denver radio station.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I'm hoping that there's gonna be a few more songs this fall.
I need inspiration. When things are going well, you don't get a lot of songs.
Yeah, okay. It's gotta come to him. He can't be agonizing for hours trying to write a song. It doesn't work.
I need a muse like R.A. Dickey was, Mike Pelfrey was, Rex Ryan was. These were personalities.
And personalities, yes.
Well, maybe you get it with Malik Nabers. I mean, that's a name that
Malik,
works. You know?
Malik. What rhymes with Malik?
Also, Nabers is a thing, you know?
I like Malik. That.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's he could be a muse. We could be sitting here a month from now talking about how that guy's just taking the NFL by storm. That's a possibility. And let's hope it happens.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Oh, yeah. This might be my favorite Huey Lewis in the news song.
Very sad he can't sing anymore.
He can't?
I don't think so. I don't think he performs anymore.
That's
yeah, his hearing, he's got that tinnitus, and he can't sing because of it.
Ugh. That sucks. That really sucks. It's another one of these things where you try to have a good time and something brings
I'm
us down.
Sorry.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah, I mean, you definitely...
Because I like Huey Lewis, and when I read it, and it sucks.
There's a Huey Lewis musical that's either coming out or out now. All of his songs.
That part of the Back to the Future musical?
Or no, it's a brand new one to him.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like Power of Love, I think. Is Power of Love?
Pretty good. Actually, that Neil Diamond one was out for a while.
Yeah, not interested. Neil Diamond.
Of things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Not you.
Oh, him?
Jerry.
Yeah.
I got the contact for the next job.
Okay, thank you.
So,
now you're trying to push me out. Told that we don't know if it's actually open.
I do. I don't. I said that.
Why did you say it?
I said I was told by someone, but I don't directly have knowledge of that. Someone around here told me that.
Someone around here told you that.
Mm. Correct.
Okay.
All right.
But I have no direct knowledge of it.
Well, we've got a name for you.
All right. Thank you.
And you can find, you can call that person. You want to call him right now? We can call him right now.
Call him right now on the air.
Yeah.
Call him.
See if he's available.
Come on.
With Dean Memminger.
Dean Memminger of New York One? That's not who it is.
Dean Memminger of the Knicks.
Yeah, but then to New York One. He's working for New York One now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Somebody like, it's just that kind of last name.
Yeah.
You heard the last name, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. But there was Mettenberger.
Menger?
That's the guy from 102.7.
McLaughlin is?
McLaughlin was that is what it was. Or was it McLaughlin?
Yeah. It could have been McLaughlin.
Yeah. All right. Let's.
Jerry, I mean, you're following the footsteps of the great Mike Breen.
Oh, sure.
Morning show update guy, voice of the Knicks, voice of the NBA, face of ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Right
that,
now.
I can see that for Jerry Recco.
Right now, I'd like to be the voice and face of this segment.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable here because I had to sit next to a guy for almost an entire week that was going after jobs that are not open with Stu Gatz trying to get every job here. And now we're talking about another job that might not be open.
I'm not going after anything.
The only reason I even brought it up is because Jerry said it was open.
I said, I heard it was open from someone that works here. That's what I said.
I didn't know that you heard that it was open from someone who works here. I thought you heard that it was open.
No, that's the first thing I told you was I was told, I'm not going to say who. I'll tell you off the someone that would also be very interested that their job was open.
I got that name.
I heard that. I don't know that.
I got that name.
Yeah.
But look at all the notes you have. Look at how studious you are.
Yeah, I still handwrite them.
Well, that's a lot of guys still do that.
Do they? I don't know.
Oh,
I see
Ian
guys
Eagle
with charts
it.
Like crazy.
Ian Eagle does it. When I worked with the great Kevin Harlan and Marv Albert, they wrote all their notes down.
We lived through a time where people were in arenas and masks.
Yeah.
I know.
God.
Just watching that is depressing. I got to be honest with you. Just thinking back to that, seeing everybody in those masks, I'm like,
I know. It's crazy.
Golly.
I know.
By the way, that was a great Stephen Waldron production there with you at Rutgers. We had another one yesterday. Stephen was in our offices filming our offices.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. He was so super passionate about it. I mean, he was bopping like crazy. Like, I hadn't seen that guy
you know what?
Bop like that in a long time.
He's out of the office. He's in the field.
I guess that's like
out
his roots.
In the field, he loves it.
Yes.
He was awesome. Some good stuff. Some really good stuff. Here, really good stuff. How was your stuff, guys, of your office?
Oh, really good stuff.
Really good stuff.
According to Steven.
Can we do that again? Because that was really good stuff, but I want getting better stuff.
I slammed the door on him. He was holding the microphone, you know, the boom mic.
Yeah, it was throwing the Bangladesh call center for a loop with that with that camera back there and a microphone. Guys are like, do I need to move? What do you need me to do? You know, they were all excited that CBS Sports Network is in the Bangladesh call center. Because they don't get a lot of, you know, they don't even get food back there and water. So, look at that. So that's a picture that's in my office. That's me at my first Mets game.
Did you ever get on Kiner's Corner?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
I would have thought that might have gotten you there.
That's a cute little Gio. You look like Spanky from Our Gang. Doesn't he?
They have I Want to Be on Kiner's Corner in 2002. And I also have and Ralph are great. Tim McCarver, Ralph Kiner.
You look exactly like Spanky from The Little Rascals. Look at that.
It's a black and white photo as well, which helps that cause.
Why are you not? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
No.
I don't.
You are Jared, right,
do you agree?
I don't know what that who he looks like.
What do you think, Al? You know who Spanky was.
I don't know which one was Spanky, but it's definitely a Little Rascals vibes.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, Eddie? the much, much younger Spanky. Because Spanky got pretty big later on.
Yeah, I know he did. But when he was younger, he looks just like Spanky.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it.
But he needs the hat with the propeller on it.
That photo could be 1966.
It could be.
If not for the 2002 on the left corner.
I know. It's black and white.
It's pretty cool looking, actually.
Yeah. That's on the desk.
How about that?
How about that? All right.
Okay. Terrific. We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog Fresh Human Grade.
You know, 1930s references you want to make right there? Don't want to be mad that no one knows what you're talking about.
They know what I'm talking about. And you look exactly like Spanky. That's all I'm going
to
say.
And we're brought to you by Jackpot. Could order official state lottery games on your phone. We were talking about Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio this morning, in fairness.
Yeah, but we know those people.
That's true. Well, so do a lot of people that call. A few clips from Brady from last week. So
Al
could hear
yes,
this.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So this is the guy who couldn't get through 3 minutes without cursing. So here were three of note. First, talking about the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan.
His sex tape with his headband on and his flat ass blurred out. I didn't. Holy shit.
So that was the first. Then they had a discussion about one of the hosts here at the radio station.
We were talking about Joe Beningo's balls. On a freaking stingray. Yeah, dude. Holy shit. Oh, no.
That was the second one, and then this was the third one, talking about his daughter going to college soon.
She got into every damn SEC college you could think of.
And are you paying the freight for this?
Oh. I don't know. I can't.
That's a guy. Unbelievable.
And then he was dumped.
Yeah.
And let go.
He was great.
We were talking about Joe Beningo's balls and a freaking stingray. Which is actually an accurate statement.
I know it was.
Kind of work.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, maybe he was watching the Yankees last night, but their top two guys really put on a show.
Swing and a poker down the left field line. That's a base hit. It rolls into foul territory and kicks off the sidewall. Scoring is Verdugo. Peraza comes home. Here's the throw. It's cut off. Scoring as well as Torres. They have Soto caught between second and third.
But not before three runs came in to score. Justin Shackle.
Juan Soto!
How about that swing?
On the little check swing. Excuse me, swing down the line. Not too bad. Well, you know what? When you put the shift on, that stuff happens. And they went 8-1. Soto had that double, also homered. He had 5 RBIs on the night. Judge, 2 home runs. He's got 47 for the season. He's batting .334, 117 RBIs. Soto's line, .302, 36-93. Here was Judge. First, talking about the win after they looked terrible the night before in terms of that 12th inning where they wound up losing big. He says big bounce back for us on this night.
Oh, it's huge, especially after the tough back and forth extra inning lost. It was great. You know, Soto gets it going there in the first inning to give Nestor a nice comfortable 2-run lead, and you know, I think Nestor kind of did the rest after that.
That's Nestor Cortez. Here was Soto.
Remember, was it Jim Cott who said He got his name. It was Nasty Nestor, and he got it wrong on the broadcast. Yes. He was like, yeah, they call him Nestor the Molester.
What?
Took a lot of heat for that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's an honest mistake, but boy, was that hilarious. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, as the baseball expert in this room.
Yeah.
Why did the Yankees always get, like, thrown out in between the bases when the ball was being thrown home?
That happens more than you know.
It happens a lot.
It does.
It happened to Stanton. It happened to Gleyber Torres. It's now happened to Soto. I mean,
Stanton and Torres don't run, so that does happen to them.
All the more reason for them not to get caught in rundowns.
I think it happens because you think the throw is going home. You might as well take the extra base. And smartly, they...
Yeah, but those kinds of mistakes in the playoffs get amplified.
I will tell you, Joseph's baseball team, that Mustangs baseball club, won a perfect game tournament this past weekend, and the game ended with Joseph was on the mound, base hit to right, with I guess it was first and second, and instead of throwing home, the kid from second scored, our first baseman Ryan cut it off through to third, the kid got caught, and that's how the game ended. He thought the ball was going all the way home.
That kid's going to be a player for the Yankees.
He might be.
Because a lot of the Yankee players do that exact thing.
You do see that happen a lot. It's a smart play by the cutoff man.
I know it is, but it's not a smart play by the runners.
Sure. How about Pete Alonso yesterday?
And so, I know, but sometimes what they do is they say that they do it on purpose to force the cut to make sure the run
scores. Correct. And you get hung up in between the base.
As long as the run scores before you get tagged out.
That is very true.
Especially when it's the third out. And that stuff is magnified to plus G.
You know what they call this?
Fundamental baseball.
Fundies.
I knew you Yes.
Fundies.
Yankees lead Baltimore by a half game for first place in the AL East because the Mets beat the Orioles yesterday. Last hour, we heard from Howie Rose. Here's how Gary Cohen called the Winker home run.
And Winker strokes one deep left center field. Back goes Mullins near the wall. It's out of here. Jesse Winker's first home run as a New York Met.
You know what I did? I didn't even realize.
Oh, my God.
What?
We just had a poker and a stroker all at the same time.
Yeah.
The same update. Yeah. If you think about this.
Swing and a poker down the left field line.
And Winker strokes one deep left center
poker
field.
And a stroker. A stroker and a stroker. That's pretty good. How about that? So that was the game winner 4-3. He goes nuts, obviously, meaning Winker. He throws his helmet. He's screaming. Blacks out. What a moment for me.
Whenever you can help a team win, especially when you get traded in this time of year, it's probably, on a personal level, it's probably one of my favorite things I've done. So, yeah, I'll definitely watch that one for sure.
Would you fight that voice?
I don't know. That's the same guy here.
Hey, this place is lit. This place is unreal. It's
the same guy.
Yeah, he had some time to decompress.
And in the locker room, of course. Relationship with the crowd.
I'll always say this. I have a ton of respect for the Mets fans. I've had it since 2019, and it's cool having their support. We're going to need them. So, and they travel well, too.
How about that? They travel well.
They travel to San Diego.
Are you predicting disaster out there? Sounds like it.
Don't do that.
I hope not.
How about they go beat a good Padres team? Well, the Padres did lose last night. So maybe they're catching them on the down. I don't know. Mets show the Braves by a game and a half for the third wild card. Atlanta lost to Philadelphia 3-2. Reds beat the Blue Jays 11-7 along the way.
One ball, no strikes. Ellie runs. The pitch is a ball. Throw to third. Not in time. The 60th stolen base of the year for Ellie De La Cruz. And he has joined some pretty exclusive company.
Yeah, just four other players have done 60 stolen bases and 20 home runs. Could you name them? I could only get one.
All right, say that again. How many? 60 stolen
20
bases?
20 or more home runs and 60 or more
Ricky
stolen
Ricky Henderson?
Bases. Yes, that was the one I got.
Willie Mays?
No.
Lou Brock.
No, good guess, no. And the one we should all have remembered because it's recent. Very recent.
Very recent.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot this. Okay, I had Henderson.
And now my brain's in the past now. Willie McGee.
No.
Vince Coleman.
No. No, I said really recent.
No, I know, but I was thinking in the past. These other guys.
No, good guess. No. Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah.
And then two other Reds.
Joe Morgan.
Yes.
Ah.
And this guy liked to punch people in the face. Or get punched in the face. Eric Davis. The Ray Knight punching him in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That was Eric Davis.
Eric Davis.
So that's pretty good company. And do you remember Jordan Valdespin?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm the man right now.
All right, not quite the same thing, but here is Ellie De La Cruz, clearly a fan of himself.
I feel so proud of me right now.
That was pretty funny. So that's your baseball story. From football, you had the Giant Jet joint practice. Just real quick, because you got two different takes here. We had the Jet side of things last hour. This is the Giant side of things. Here's Daniel Jones. How did things go?
For the most part, we executed well. Thought throughout the team drills, we moved the ball and executed, I think.
Okay, so you sound pretty positive. You hear from Daniel Jones. Here's Malik Nabers. Doesn't quite sound the same.
I mean, their defense came out here, executed well. You know, we beat ourselves today. So it's about really going back into our playbook, going back into, you know, trying to be, you know, us, trying to find this team that, you know, we're trying to look for. So it's going back to the preparation, really.
And so he feels like they got beat. Jones feels like they executed. We shall see. They will play this weekend. Also of note, Pittsburgh plays Detroit this weekend. Russell Wilson says he is going to play. You've got the Colts and the Bengals playing tonight, and Bo Nix named starter in Denver.
All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
So let me ask you this question. Reading and watching some of the video that came out of the joint practice yesterday between the Jets and the Giants, I mean, I don't know if you get the same feeling that I get. I get the feeling that the Jets are on a trajectory where the expectations are so high. And watching Aaron Rodgers do his thing yesterday and watching Tyron Smith do his thing against Brian Burns and all the stuff that came out of, like, the Jet side of things, I just feel like there's an explosion waiting to happen in Florham Park, where with the Giants, it's more measured. It's I felt, and of course, Daniel Jones, anytime he gives you a comment about a practice or performance, it's going to be measured. I just felt like there was so much more confidence coming from the Jets side and the Jet fan base, and the Jets can't wait to get the season going, and they want to get this preseason over with. Do you feel the same?
Not quite with the Jets. I'll tell you, here's an analogy for you with, I feel like, the Jets' expectations with their fan bases. So the Jet fan is a woman who's been spurned many times by men in her life who they felt was the one, but there was always something wrong, and they got dumped, they got cheated on, and now they met someone that they think is the one. Everything seems to be lining up. Great job. Maybe a hedge fund guy. You know, has great parents. Never been married before. Doesn't have a kid somewhere hiding. All these things. But in the back of their mind, they're like, this guy could be Scott Peterson. That's where I think the Jet fan is right now. That make sense to you?
No.
Oh, I think it's a great analogy.
No, I think the analogy.
Come on.
It's a good analogy.
Now,
topical. It's a new Netflix documentary.
Yeah, I understand what he's doing.
Everyone thought he was a great guy.
But the Jets feel like they are the team. I like the fan base is excited now because they're seeing these plays by Garrett Wilson. They're seeing Aaron Rodgers out on the field. They like Tyron Smith. I mean, like, they just feel like this is it, man. They have five top five defense, even though Hassan Reddick's still holding out.
They felt like it was it last year. Well, and then they got smacked in the face by reality with that injury.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate. That was an injury. That wasn't poor performance. That was an injury.
But what the Jet fan thinks, and I can guarantee you that the majority of the fans base that is led by guys like Joe Beningo are saying, I am excited about this team, but you know something's going to happen because it always does.
Okay, well, yeah,
a lot of serial killers are charmers.
Exactly.
Not the Long Island guy, but, you know, a lot of them are charmers.
Yeah, I mean, that was your Ted boy, Bundy.
That was your boy Janelle yesterday.
Serial killer?
No.
Oh.
Your boy Janelle basically is a huge Jet fan. And he's like, so what do you think? What do you think? He goes, I've been hoping for so long. I'm like, well, keep hope alive, man. That's what you got to do. You got to keep hope alive.
I didn't know Janelle was a big Jets fan.
Yes, he is.
We always talk about clothes with him, which I appreciate. He doesn't talk to me about
sports. Well, that's his expertise.
Exactly. So I want to learn from him.
And he, like you, is playing through like the love and the itch of golf.
Yeah. And he doesn't play enough, though.
And he doesn't get a chance to. Like, I told him yesterday that you scratch that itch all the time. He doesn't scratch it enough. Like, how many holes of golf have you played this year?
Stand by.
$1,084.
And how many rounds of golf is that?
with not it around to me, I count in here is nine holes or more.
Nine holes or more,
and
okay.
That's 71.
Holy crap. Yeah. Like you got poison ivy, man. Scratching a hole every day.
Yeah.
I don't think I've played that many rounds.
You probably haven't. But once again, you're a busier man than I am after the show.
Yeah.
You know? So Brad in Point Pleasant. What's going on, Brad?
Gio.
Yeah.
Boomer. Once again, spot on, Gio. That is exactly how every Jet fan feels right now. This is it. This is the marriage. This is the girl of our dreams. And we're going to find out that she has toenail clippings or hair follicle clippings.
Herpes.
Somewhere in her drawer or something really bad.
Yeah.
And it's going to go wrong again for us. And every Jet fan feels that way. Every one of us.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I appreciate that. Co-signing. What was that movie?
So that guy knows every Jet fan, because I have Jet fans in my life who are not thinking that way.
I want to make this reference.
All I'm saying, you can't say every Jet
fan. I think most of them. I said a majority of them. Most Jet fans. I don't remember this reference, this movie that well, but wasn't it? This is a movie, The Crying Game, where they found out that the woman had a penis.
Yes. Shocking part
right.
At the end, I believe.
Yeah. That's another kind of analogy that I could, like, all of a sudden, you know, the Jet fans going in, this is the one, and bang, schween. And you're like, whoa! I thought this was it!
There's all kinds of Jet fans, that's all I'm going to say.
I would just tell you, that's how they feel. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, just how they feel. Doesn't mean they're not excited, they're excited.
It's a little shocking to them?
Yeah, they're excited about it.
Last year was a shock to the core of the Jet fan.
Yeah, but so that's a good one. The 2023 Jets were like The Crying Game.
Yes. Not right. The 2024 Jets. New team.
Not yet.
New season.
Not yet.
Better team.
But they
by
do
the way.
Think they do. They are running background checks on their significant other.
It's
and they're worried something's going to come
it's
up.
It's a better team.
Okay. Well, remains to be seen.
I'm telling you.
Remains to be seen.
As I
turns out, I have a penis.
That's good. I'm glad.
That's good.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
So let me ask you this question. Reading and watching some of the video that came out of the joint practice yesterday between the Jets and the Giants. I mean, I don't know if you get the same feeling that I get. I get the feeling that the Jets are on a trajectory where the expectations are so high. And watching Aaron Rodgers do his thing yesterday and watching Tyron Smith do his thing against Brian Burns and all the stuff that came out of like the Jet side of things, I just feel like there's an explosion waiting to happen in Florham Park, where with the Giants, it's more measured. It's I felt, and of course, Daniel Jones, anytime he gives you a comment about a practice or performance, it's going to be measured. I just felt like there was so much more confidence coming from the Jets side and the Jet fan base, and the Jets can't wait to get the season going, and they want to get this preseason over with. Do you feel the same?
Not quite with the Jets. I'll tell you, here's an analogy for you, with I feel like the Jets' expectations with their fan base is. So the Jet fan is a woman who's been spurned many times by men in her life who they felt was the one. But there was always something wrong. And they got dumped. They got cheated on. And now they met someone that they think is the one. Everything seems to be lining up. Great job. Maybe a hedge fund guy. You know, has great parents. Never been married before. Doesn't have a kid somewhere hiding. All these things. But in the back of their mind, they're like, this guy could be Scott Peterson. That's where I think the Jet fan is right now. It make sense to you?
No.
Oh, I think it's a great analogy.
No, I think the analogy.
Come on.
It's a good analogy.
No.
Topical. It's a new Netflix documentary.
Yeah, I understand what he's doing.
Everyone thought he was a great guy.
Yeah.
But the Jets feel like they are the team. I like the fan base is excited now because they're seeing, seeing these plays by Garrett Wilson. They're seeing Aaron Rodgers out on the field. They like Tyron Smith. I mean, like, they just feel like this is it, man. They got a top five defense, even though Hassan Reddick's still holding out.
They felt like it was it last year. Well, and again, then they got smacked in the face by reality with that injury.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate. That was an injury. That wasn't poor performance. That was an injury.
But what the Jet fan thinks, and I can guarantee you that the majority of the fan base that is led by guys like Joe Beningo are saying, I am excited about this team, but you know something's going to happen because it always
does. Okay, well, because
a lot of serial killers are charmers.
Exactly.
Not the Long Island guy, but, you know, a lot of them are charmers.
Yeah, I mean, that was your Ted Bundy.
That was your boy Janelle yesterday.
Serial killer?
No.
Oh.
Your boy Janelle basically is a huge Jet fan. And he's like, so what do you think? What do you think? He goes, I've been hoping for so long. I'm like, well, keep your hope alive, man. That's what you got to do. You got to keep hope alive.
Hmm. I didn't know Janelle was a big Jets fan.
Yes, he is.
We always talk about clothes with him, which I appreciate. He doesn't talk to me about
sports. Well, that's
his
expertise.
Exactly. So I want to learn from
and
him.
And he, like you, is playing through like the love and the itch of golf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he doesn't play enough, though.
And you, he
doesn't
play
get a
lot,
chance
like,
to.
Like, I told him yesterday that you scratch that itch all the time. He doesn't scratch it enough. Like, how many holes of golf have you played this year?
Stand by. ~1,084.
And how many rounds of golf is that?
A round to me, I count in here, is 9 holes or more.
9 holes or more,
and
okay.
And that's 71.
Holy crap. Yeah. It's like you got poison ivy, man. Scratching a hole every day.
Yeah.
I don't think I've played that many rounds.
You probably haven't. But once again, you're a busier man than I am after the show.
Yeah.
You know? So. Brad in Point Pleasant. What's going on, Brad?
Gio.
Yeah.
Boomer. Once again, spot on, Gio. Mm. That is exactly how every Jet fan feels right now. This is it. This is the marriage. This is the girl of our dreams. And we're going to find out that she has toenail clippings or hair follicle clippings.
Herpes.
Somewhere in her drawer or something really bad.
Yeah.
And it's going to go wrong again for us. And every Jet fan feels that way. Every one of us.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I appreciate that. Co-signing. What was that movie?
So that guy knows every Jet fan, because I have Jet fans in my life who are not thinking that way.
I want to make this reference.
Saying you can't say every Jet
fan. I think most of them. I said a majority of them. Most Jet fans. I don't remember this movie that well, but wasn't it? It was a movie, The Crying Game, where they found out that the woman had a penis.
Yes. Shocking part
right
at the end, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's another kind of analogy that I could... Like, all of a sudden, you know, the Jet fans going in, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one, and bang, schween. And you're like, whoa! I thought this was it!
There's all kinds of Jet fans, that's all I'm going to say.
I would just tell you, that's how they feel. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, just how they feel. Not excited, they're excited. So
it's a little shocking to them?
Yeah, they're excited about it.
I mean, last year was a shock to the core of the Jet fan.
Yeah, but so that's a good one. The 2023 Jets were like The Crying Game.
Yes. Not right. The 2024 Jets. New team.
Not yet.
New season.
Not yet.
Better team.
But they
by
do
the way.
Think they do. They are running background checks on their significant other.
It's
and they're worried something's going to come
it's
up.
It's a better team.
Okay. Well, remains to be seen.
I'm telling you.
Remains to be seen.
As I
turns out, I have a penis.
That's good. I'm glad.
That's good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.